Good, good, good. Good, good, good. Yeah, last week, it was a pretty good message, huh? I really felt that one, and you know, if you didn't get to hear it, I encourage you to listen to it. Listen to it online or CD. All about the Golden Girls. You know, thank you for being a friend. And, when the pastor asked me to speak, I was trying to figure out what to talk about. So then, you know, because, you know, how do you follow that up? And, the only thing you can do is continue a series on classic television, right? So tonight is the second part of my series that I've apparently started of classic television, all about TV from the 80s and 90s, because, I mean, that's when I grew up, and I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid. But one of my other favorite shows, well, just go ahead and play that. You got to have the sound on, brother. I love that at the end there, because, you know, I love Home Improvement, you know, all about Tim the Tool Man Taylor, and it was a show that I love when I was growing up, and we've been watching it at the house, because it's the amazing thing about 2019 is you can watch all the old TV shows on your TV now, because before you had to wait every week for the episodes to come on, or you had to get a DVD or something. This, it's all at my fingertips, right? So we've been playing this, and Kelly said, "Oh, I loved the show when I was a kid. We used to watch it all the time." And I see Casey shaking her head. But it was great, because, you know, it was about being a man, you know, more power, things like that. And he was Tim the Tool Man Taylor, he's a man's man, right? But the cool thing about him was, he was manly, and it was all about more power, because, you know, he was overpowering, like, everything. One of the episodes we watched, he put this massive engine on the on his lawnmower. Yeah. You know, it's way too big for his lawnmower, so I could mow my yard in 3.2 seconds. I'm like, wow, you know. But, you know, it was all this about testosterone, right? But he's a man that had a soft heart at the same time. You know, he loved his kids. He loved his wife. No matter what happened, there was a lot of love in the show. You know, no matter what happened in every episode, at the end, there was a common theme of every episode was love. You know, that's kind of the tie that binds it all together. And I will say probably my favorite quote from the show is, anytime Tim did something stupid, Al, his buddy, would always say, "I don't think so, Tim." I love that. But going back to the common theme of love, Colossians 3:14, it says, "Clothe yourselves in love." Yes. "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." Love. Love is very important. You know, love between friends. Yeah. You know, like we talked about last week. love between family, love in the church, you know, all of those aspects of love, love binds us together in every relationship that we have.
Yes.
It's all about love. And that's one of the cool things that I loved about that show was love. But of course, what I loved even more was the power tools. Love power tools. I still love them. But it was about building things. He was always building something or doing something crazy. You know, and I began to think about building, you know, home improvement, building things. You know, at my job, at the law firm that I work for, we just built a new building, right? We just moved into this new, I don't even know how much they paid. I didn't even ask, you know, to build this thing. But at my desk, looking out the back of the building, they're putting up a house, right? And it's the craziest looking house. There's different pieces here and here and here. And I don't know. It's a very weird thing to see how all the pieces fit together. But I know that there's a master plan. You know, I may not see how all the pieces fit, but I know in the end, all the pieces are going to fit together to form a house. And it's the same thing with God. Psalm 127:1. I want to look at this. About building a foundation. You know, building. Before you start building, you have to have the right plans. Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, it's a very, very famous verse. In the King James Version, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted."
Yes.
So what it's saying there is it's a vain attempt to do things without the Lord. You know, without asking God first what he wants you to do, you're wasting your time. And it goes on to say in another verse over in Proverbs 19:21, it says, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." You know, I heard growing up, someone told me, said, "You can," talking about making plans. Someone told me a long time ago that it was, man makes plans, but the Lord laughs at them. You know, you can make all the plans for your life and the things that you want to do, but if you don't consult God, they're worthless, right?
Right.
It's meaningless. Psalm 33:11, "But the Lord's plans stand firm. His intentions can never be shaken." Think about that. The Lord's plans stand firm. They cannot, his intentions can never be shaken. What he has set out for you does not change. It's up to us to shut up and listen, to seek after the things of God. Because if you don't have the right plan, you're going to jack your life up, right? If you're like the building that I was talking about, that they're building this home out behind our office, if they don't have the right plan ahead of them, it's all going to be for naught.
That's right.
And if you don't have the right blueprint, what do you got? A bunch of time wasted. So it's about having the right set of plans when you're trying to build something.
That's right.
Proverbs 3, verse 5. Says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take." Many times, when I look back at my own life, I can see all the times that I got off God's plan and all of the trouble that I caused myself because I didn't do what? I didn't seek his will in what I was doing. You know, I was getting ready to graduate from college and from Bible college. And I had a whole plan laid out, had it all written out. I was like, "God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to move over here. I'm going to do this. Jeremy made plans and God laughed at it. Am I doing any of those things that I wrote down in that order? Nah. Nah. I had a plan to, one of my plans was to move to Alaska because they'll pay you to live there. Did you know that?
Wow.
Yeah, because nobody wants to live in Alaska. So I thought, hey, I'll move to Alaska. I can preach out there. God said, nah, son, you're not going to do that. And I thought, oh, I'm going to move to Kansas City. It's Missouri. I like Missouri. It's not St. Louis, but, you know, it's still Missouri. God said, hey, guess what? Those people that you were going to, we're going to go help and do this with, he totally picked them up and removed them from my life completely. Here I am trying to make plans, but I never asked God, what do you want me to do? So then when I finally got to it, I'm like, okay, I'm not going this way. You shut the door over here. I don't even talk to these people I was going to go help over here. What do I want to do? What do you want me to do, God? And you know what ended up happening? I threw all my stuff in the back of a van, or in the back of my 99 Chevy Cavalier, red two-door. And I moved to a place called Paris, Arkansas. Because God said, that's where I want you. That is where I want you. Not over here. Not these plans that you had over here. But here. Paris, Arkansas. I've never even heard of Paris, Arkansas. I didn't even know it existed. I do now. And then I said, God, all right, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And then what began to happen? Every step of the way, the next thing I know, I've got a girl I work with, a lady that I work with, says, hey, why don't you come talk to my sister? It's like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, show me a picture. We'll see what we're working with, you know. Did I not say that? Yes. You know. And then all of a sudden, what happens? God said, hey, you're going to marry that girl. Because I listened to what he had to say. He put me in the right place for me to be blessed. And then what happens after that? I get one kid. He blesses me with one. Then God said, hey, take care of that one. You've done good with that one. Here's another one. Like what? All because I stopped me. And I listened to what God wanted. See, it's about when you're building something, it's about having the right plan to build. Because my plan was meaningless. God's plan is meaningful. Because God, he put me here to partner, to build something. When I moved myself out of the way, I said, it's you leading, God, not me. See, get that. Because great things happen when you shut up and you listen to God. So you stop arguing with him. You say, but God, I want to go over here. No, son. You're over here. Whew. Sorry, none of that was in my notes. But it's all about the master plan. Amen. And once I figured out God's plan, then what happens? You begin to lay the foundation for the things of God. Because without a firm foundation, what do you got? You got nothing. You have to have a solid life, a solid home. What do you have to do? You have to have a solid foundation.
Yes.
A solid foundation in the things of Christ. Because throughout the Bible, the master builder tells us how to build our home. Throughout the Bible, over and over. Let's look over at Matthew. Actually, let's look at Luke. Luke 6:47. The master builder over and over in the Bible tells us how to build our life. And he goes on to say this. Luke 6:47. He says, this is Jesus talking. He says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teachings, and then follows it. Okay, so get that. When someone comes to Christ, they listen, then they do. What happens? Verse 48, it says, it's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. Digging deep into the things of God and laying that foundation on God. Because when the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. Because it has that foundation. That foundation of what? Of Christ in your life. It's building that foundation. It's listening to God and then saying, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to do and build my life on your rock, on you, God, not the things that I want or the things that I want to do, but the things that you want me to do. Verse 49, it says, but anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds his house without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse in a heap of ruin. How many times have we seen that in people's lives? When they don't have that foundation, something happens. You know, hard times hit. You lose a job. You lose something. And then what happens? The foundation shakes and everything collapses because there's nothing to stand firm upon. But here Jesus, he's saying, make your foundation me, and no matter what comes at you. Over in the King James Version, it says, the floodwaters rise and the winds beat vehemently. When the winds and the waves and all of life comes at you, if you stand on that foundation, you've got nothing to worry about. Right?
Right.
Because it's about having the right plans, building the right foundation, and then building the right house on that foundation. Building a house on that foundation. I want to look over in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. And this is Paul talking here. And he says, because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Because of God's grace, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. So he laid the foundation and others are building onto that. Building onto that foundation of God. All right? Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Verse 11, it says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Saying that's the only foundation, is Jesus. Don't put your trust in anything else. Only Jesus. In verse 12, it says, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. Gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. So he's saying you can build on the foundation that I'm laying for you. What he's talking about there is using your time and your talents to actually serve God. Okay? In the Bible, things that are spiritual or holy are usually signified by what? Gold and silver and jewels. Things that are holy, things that are of God, are precious. But the things that aren't of God, they pass away. Like wood, hay, and straw in this verse. Okay, so what he's trying to say is spiritual work, the things that you do for God, is like gold and silver. Use that to build your house. Use those things, the things of God, you know, prayer. Build your walls with prayer. Build your roof with praise. Fill your rooms with love. Use the gifts that God has given you for His glory. If you can sing, sing. Don't be afraid. If you can preach, preach. If you can love someone, love someone. But do it for God, because those things are precious. When you build with those, they don't pass away. But on the other hand, wood, hay, straw, things that pass away, that's fleshly work. Things of the flesh, like wasting your time.
Yeah.
Talking about folks. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Backbiting. Being ugly. That's a big one. That's, you know. But see, those are the things of flesh. Wasting your time. Idle talk. You know, talking about things, talking about people. Because you know, anytime, and I've said this before, but anytime you're talking with someone and they say, I love so-and-so, but they're fixing to talk some noise about somebody and you need to not listen, right? See you nodding your head back there. Because that is idle talk. That's building your house with things that pass away, that are no good. But instead, building people up. Spiritual work. Because he goes on to say in verse 13, but on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Okay? When it's all said and done, whatever you've built your house with is going to be revealed. If you built it with the things of God, it's not going to perish. It's not going to pass away. But if you've built it on things that don't matter, it passes away. It says there, but on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. What kind of work have you done? The fire will show if a person's work has any value. What you've done, what you spent your life doing, does it have value? Does it have value to the things of God? Or is it meaningless? Did you spend your time investing in your kids, building them up, praising people, building other people up, loving other people? Or did you spend your time talking about them? See, it says right there, the fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has been doing. If the work survives, in verse 14, that builder will receive a reward. So when it's tested, at the end, when you're all done, and God looks at all you've done in your life, and he tests that, will the work survive? Will your work survive? But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer a great loss. I don't know about you, but when it's all said and done, I want God to be able to say, you know, all my work to survive. And for God to say, well done. Not, what did you do with all the time that I gave you? You know, what did you do with that? Because when the fire comes, the trials and hardship comes, they'll show exactly what you've built your life with and upon. Think about that. Will it show that it's genuine? Or will it show that it's not? Because a strong foundation and strong walls, you can stand through anything that comes your way. No matter what happens, that's God's protection. Because the right structure is God protecting you. You know, you've built up the things of God, he's going to protect you. Because you've invested in him. You've built your house out of gold and silver instead of wood and hay. Because, like I said, some things pass away. And I was reading talking about God's protection. I was reading a story about a believer. His name was Frederick Nolan. Okay, he lived in Africa. And he was in North Africa, and he was fleeing from his enemies during a time of great persecution in North Africa. He was pursued by them over hills and valleys with no place to hide. And he felt exhausted, and he fell exhausted into a cave. You know, he finally found a place, and he just fell. He was exhausted from running. And he lay there expecting his enemies to soon find him, saying, you know what? I can't run anymore. I'm done. He was awaiting death, and he saw a small spider begin to start weaving a web across the front of the cave. And within minutes, the little bug had woven a beautiful web across the mouth of the cave. And the pursuers arrived there, right? And they were looking all around for him, and they wondered if he was in that cave, but when they looked, they saw that web, right? So they were looking and see if he was hiding there, but on seeing the unbroken and unmangled piece of art, the web, they thought it was impossible for him to have entered that cave without dismantling that web. So they went on. So having escaped, Nolan exclaimed these words, "Where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. Where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web." Think about that. Where God is, if you're on that foundation, He's going to protect you. No matter what comes at you, God's got you. You know, He can make a spider web a wall to keep you safe. But if He's not there, there's nothing that can protect you. If God is not where you're at, and you're not where He's at, there's nothing that can protect you. So I say all that. You know, we've been talking about having the right plans, having the right foundation, building with the correct materials. So what's the payoff? What do we get out of all that when it's all said and done? The very first thing is blessings here on earth. You know, because over and over in the Bible it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord." You know, blessed is the man who follows after God. I want to look at Psalm 128. Starting in verse 1, it says, "How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and how prosperous you will be." So He's saying, when you're following after the things of God, He's going to bless you. He's going to provide for you. And you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. All that hard work you've been doing, you're going to enjoy the result of it. In verse 3, it says, "Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like a vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table." That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live, and may you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. See, when you follow after the things of God, He's going to bless you here on earth. He's going to, you know, give you stuff, provide for you, bless you. And most of all, He's going to give you peace. Lord knows we need some of that, right? If you follow after God, you're going to have some peace. And I need some of that. You can hear my loud son in the over in the nursery there. Lord knows I need some peace. But you know what? The next payoff too, talking about my son, a heritage. You know, heritage is something that's passed on to the next generation. You know, when I build that foundation and I build that home of the things of God, I start a tradition, or I continue the tradition that was started in me. You know, and because children are our heritage. They are our personal investment in the future. You know what joy it is to see all of our kids become the next generation of Christians, become the next generation of singers. You know, I can't wait till I mean, I love how Sister Casey sings, but I can't wait to hear when Bella sings up there with her. Where's my girl Sophie at? I love when you sing too, girl. Yes. See, you're the next generation. See, we're building that foundation for us now, but for them in the future. Absolutely. Because that foundation that I'm building on was provided to me by my parents. And they built on the foundation of their parents. And I can look back in my own life and see a lineage of Christ because someone way back when said, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And every generation after that built upon that. I stand here because of them. And my kids will stand here because of me. Your kids will stand here because of you. See, that's the thing. It's building that next generation. Starting that heritage or continuing it. It's up to you. But worst of all, you don't want to stop it. You want to keep building on those things. And then we come to the ultimate payoff. 2 Timothy 4:6. Paul was talking to Timothy and he says, the time of my death is near. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness. See, that's the ultimate payoff right there. You know, God says, I'm going to bless you while you're here. I'm going to bless your kids. They're going to go forth and do great things. But when it's all said and done, I'm going to give you a crown of righteousness. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I want my crown to be big because I've done a lot of stuff. Because I've furthered the kingdom. That's why I want a big crown. Because that means touched a lot of people. And that's what I want to encourage you guys with is, you know, make your crown up in heaven as big as possible. And drag as many people with you as you can. Kick it and scream it if you have to. Because, you know, we've got empty seats, but each one has a name. Each one has a name. You can write a name on each one of those seats. Think about that. Pray for those seats. Invite people to church. Because we got a lot of people. We all know a lot of people. You say, hey, you know what? We bought a new chair. It's just for you. It's got your name on it. And then before they get here, you know, write it on a little card and put it on there. That's your chair. That's for you. But see, when it's all said and done, the prize awaits, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but it's for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. It's not just for me. It's for everyone. And I want to be, I don't know about you, but I want to give that prize out to as many people as we can. As many people as possible. To build something. Because there's a big purpose here ahead of us. I believe that full-heartedly. You know, I wouldn't have thrown everything I had in the back of a 99 Chevy Cavalier, moved to a town I had never heard of, live in a Sunday school room for 6 months. I did. I slept in an old Sunday school room. I did all that, not for me, but to build something for God. And that's what I want to encourage you guys with, is building that foundation, building that house of the things of God. So when it's all said and done, and you get to heaven, like I know Brother JD heard when he walked into heaven, well done, my good and faithful servant. Those are the words that I want to hear. And all of the people that's gone before me, they've gotten blessed to hear that. My turn isn't yet, but I'm waiting for that day. I'm building that house. I have that deep foundation so I can hear that. And I want to encourage y'all with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. A little too loud. Thank you, God. You know, back some years ago, we bought our house in June of 1986. And for a long time, it was just a little bitty old house, less than 1,000 square feet. And then we built an addition on it. And I knew what I wanted to put there. And I had Clarence Fulmer, he was a fella, and he headed up a team of guys that helped build it. The point was this, Harold. There were no blueprints. I said, Harold, I got it all just in my head. I knew what I wanted. I knew we wanted to put a master bedroom there with a bathroom, a walk-in closet, and different things. And he said, and Clarence, this is what Clarence told me. He said, it's a lot easier if you had a blueprint. I said, yeah, but I don't have one, man. What do you think? He said, well, yeah, just keep telling me. And by faith, he just went on. And one day he said, Brother Angelo, come here. He said, I'm beginning to see what you're doing, what you're building, and it's going to look real nice. You know, God is the master builder. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the dimensions of the whole earth. He's Alpha and Omega. He knows how many hair are on your head and how many days you have left to think about that. He's got a plan for your life. And you know, people can tell. If they're honest, right in here, they can tell when they've missed it. See, Clarence just had to go by faith that I knew what I was talking about. I gave him the dimensions of the living room. I told him I wanted real thick subflooring in that hole throughout there. And I wanted certain kind of things in there. And he just had to go by faith until one day he saw it. But he was working for me. And I didn't have a blueprint on paper, but I knew what we wanted to do. And I'm just going to ask you, tonight, there was Harold Jones. We built Max Steel. It was a huge project, one of the bigger ones I'd been on. And he had a desk that was wooden that was from about here to about here when it opened up the blueprints for both sides. And he put it out. And he'd call people up. He'd say, Angelo, come here. And these blueprints for Max Steel were like this thick. And they opened up and there was on both sides and turned a page on that side. It was a huge project. And there was lots of people with different giftings in there. It was electricians, plumbers, cement people, sheetrock people, pipe fitters, you name it. People that could thread pipe, people that could weld really good. And everybody with their giftings, we just had the plumbing part, Local 29, plumbers and pipe fitters. And Harold would say, Angelo, come here. And he would take a part that he wanted me to build, say the page was this big, and there was a little section, and he'd take and make a copy of that little part there. He says, I want you to build this today. I want you to do this, this, and this. I'll be here if you have any troubles. Go build it. You know, unless the builder of the house builds in the things of God, they labor in vain. And we're going to close tonight. And the thing is, sometimes mistakes are made. The five-story engineering building at the University of Fayetteville I worked on, and that foundation is off. It's tweaked. And they just had to make do with what was there. But as we're closing tonight, I'm going to give you an invitation. See, everybody has giftings on their life. Either you're a plumber or electrician or sheetrocker. No, see, you've got giftings. You've got things that you can do that other people may not have. And everybody has a call on their life. God has a plan, a mission. Jesus said this, my meat or my greatest desire is to do the will of my Father and complete the mission that he had for me to do. And when he hung on the cross, he said something to let us know. He said, it is finished. Paul said, I finished. Now, none of us have finished in here yet tonight. And I just want to talk to you and reason with you. And I realize what I'm dealing with. Because in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, do you feel like are you building according to the blueprint that God has for your life? Because it's easy to get off. I've seen that. And tonight, if you say, you know, I think I want a greater revelation of what God has me to do, what I'm supposed to do, and you're not afraid of who sees this or who doesn't see that or who's going to, but if you just want to say, I just like to take the rest of my time and do it right according, and I realize I'm not the boss of the project. See, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Now, I'm just going to come and stand here for a moment. That's a very challenging invitation in a small group where the lights are on full bore. But if there's anybody that can say, hey, I'm really not sure that I'm going the right way. And not only can you say that, but you're not afraid. See, everybody that Christ called, he called publicly. And if you have a greater reservation and fear, then you have a desire to get it right. And this may not mean nothing to you. There may not be any. All I'm doing is what I believe God wants me to do. If you're saying, I want to be in God's plan for my life, I want you to come up here tonight. Think about that. By the way, there's room for everybody. If everybody came, and if nobody came, we'd just close this baby down. How wonderful. How absolutely wonderful. You know, I've got these boys. I've got Evan. He's 15 now. And I can start to remember when I was 15 years old. I didn't know anything about what I wanted to do. And I think that's hard to know. But you know, as I begin to live life, I got saved when I was 19. And I can remember when I got married, when I was 22, we told Pastor Williams, I remember telling him while he was filling out my marriage certificate. I said, you know, I can't explain this, Pastor, but I feel like God might want me to go into the ministry. And here we are, 40-something years later. Now, everybody has a gift on their life. We're not just talking about ministry. And everybody has ministry gifts too. But, you know, there are people that are just exceptional welders. Good welders make a lot of money, don't they, Mike? Man, they can make some money now. $50, $60, $80 an hour. Offshore welders. People that are good medical people. And then there's people that are nurses' aides. There's people that are registered nurses. There's people that can work at Cloyes Gear. There's people that can work at Stark. I was looking at your hands earlier when we prayed. Look at that. You know what? These are the hands of a worker. See, she works at Stark, and she makes a hand, and she goes to work more than she flubs up and doesn't go to work. Okay? Here's a gal that works in home health. And what are these kids going to be? And when it comes to God's plan for your life, we want you to be in it. Look at this here. I'm just impressed. Now, take one another by the hand, if you would. Yeah, Bredo, get in there between Mike and your mom. You see here? May I tell you something? I made so many horrible mistakes in my life as a young person. If we can get somebody like this here, if we can get somebody this age, if we can get these children and set them on a rock where they can hear God and they can get a sense of direction. Now, my wife, Millie, when she was 13 years old, she knew she was going to be a nurse. When I asked for her hand in marriage 45 years ago, Hip said, now, Angelo, he said, you're our next door neighbor, but I'm pretty sure Millie wants to be in school as a nurse. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to stop that? I said, Hip, I promise you, she'll go to school. She'll go to school and she'll be a nurse. You know, there came a time shortly after Millie kind of got there. What do you call that when you want babies? Biological clock? Or she wanted to have, she wanted to do something different. It got a little hard. It got a little hard. And she said, I just don't want to do it. And I was going to say, by golly. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came over me. I said, okay, Mill, why don't you come to work with me? That day, I was a taper with Taping Mud. And my little wife came home that night with Taping Mud all over her. I think God wants me to finish nursing school. That's a true story, isn't it? I had her up on a scaffold. She said, oh, Catherine, I'm going to fall. No, you'll be all right. You know, tapers have stilts. You ever seen them work on stilts? No, we didn't do that. But I had her in a room. We were topping out. And man, there was mud. I said, now come on, hold this thing. Follow me. Come on, I'm going to hit it with that. I'm going to feather it. And wham, she had it in her hair and everything else. And all of a sudden, her call looked real good. And she loves what she does to this day. Father, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Say, Lord God, give me a greater revelation of your plan for my life. I got a feeling your plan is better than my plan. So I receive right now, Lord, your plan for my life. And I'm going to seek you. And I'm going to find. Help me to walk in your plan for my life. Amen. It's never too late. Today is the rest of the day of your life. It was the right thing to do. Now be looking for opportunities to see things. That believe God that he'll... Man, I'll tell you, when we moved here to Arkansas, whoa, we just knew it. But all right then, everybody. You can stand by your seat and I'm going to dismiss us with prayer. Right when I pray, make no mistake, your life is important, and the plan that God has for your life, nobody else can do that plan. It's for your life. Are we ready? Will you lift up your hands? Oh, this is a great place. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his revelation knowledge for your life, that you may know like never before this part of the plan for your life in every way, where you work, where you live, in relationships, churches, everything, that like never before you're driving the car that God wants you to. You're at the right timing for everything like never, never before. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you.